Data Spinoff here with Stefan Bienkowski and Jonathan Harding, the two first time you guys have paired together. And man, that was much more interesting match day than the first match day of January. And we certainly have a lot to talk about, but let's get to, I think, the game of the weekend, which was Leipzig against Hoffenheim. Two very similar styles. John, Leipzig won 2-1. And this was a match day that was kind of dismissed at the beginning of the season. But what did you think of it now?
Well, I think going into it, you know, labelled El Plastico is always going to make it interesting. I think for all of the talk off the pitch about the approaches of the two clubs, the football on the pitch was actually some of the best that we've seen this season. And, you know, if we stick to the sporting aspects of the game, it was absolutely, you know, brilliant to watch. Perhaps lost a little bit of its quality when Sandro Wagner was sent off for basically just a rush of blood to the head. It was just silly. And I think his reaction shows that. He knows straight away that he's cost his team the game and made an error.
I definitely want to talk about him more in a second, but Stefan, what do you think of the game? Because there's two teams that have very similar styles and have been successful in very similar ways. So what did you take away from this game?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was quite intriguing that before the Leipzig-Bayern game, we were all using that as like a test to see how good Leipzig were. I thought this game was perhaps more useful in that regard, because I thought, sure, there's a sending off and Hoffenheim went a goal up, but I thought Leipzig responded perfectly, and the goals that they scored were Leipzig at their very best. Like that Werner goal was just Leipzig on top of a team.
Definitely.
And I thought, and I think you could tell from the way like Heisenhüttl, like in that second goal, he ran the length of the pitch, proper Jurgen Klopp effort there. Mm-hmm. And it showed that it meant a lot. And
I knew you were going to like that. I knew when I saw it. I knew that was something that's a Stefan Bienkowski style of coach right there.
Well, in my opinion, Heisenhüttl was the best coach of 2016 Bundesliga coaches. So I think he deserves the credit. Leipzig played to their strengths. And sure, Hoffenheim were a man down. I'm sure, I can't remember what Nagelsmann said after the game, but I'm sure if he didn't say so, he would have quite happily admitted to himself that that played a huge part. But at the end of the day, Leipzig were the better team, and they quite comfortably now in second place.
And you're right to say that they were the better team, and actually what interests me now is how Hoffenheim are going to react. Obviously, they've never lost in the league under him, so you know what do you do now? You're in a situation you've never been in before, and it will be a test of his management as well, because you have to approach the squad, you have to deal with the situation. But I thought that their counter-attacking goal was perhaps, I mean, you said it before we started recording, it was probably the best counter-attacking goal I think I might have ever seen. Talk about ruthless, just unbelievable passing, movement, vision, even right up to the end. Because Kramaric there can quite easily go for goal, but he doesn't. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, you see a lot of, I was thinking when you said that off air, you said that off air too, that was the best counter-attacking goal. When you see a counter-attacking goal, it usually involves a strong individual effort.
Yeah.
But this is maybe the best team
absolutely
counter-attacking goal that absolutely we've seen in at least a while.
I think Nagelsmann said early in the season that he wants his teams to attack within 8 seconds. I think that is what it takes.
Yeah,
but it's interesting because Ralf Rangnick has said the same thing.
Oh, maybe it was him that said it then.
I think they both have said it.
And you're talking about, because I think Rangnick was asked about Germany's game against Italy at the Euros, and he said, this is not football for me. Germany passed the ball left to right for 60 minutes, and it's really interesting to hear him talk about that. And he says, at Leipzig, our goal is, once we've won the ball back, is to score a goal within 7 to 8 seconds, because if it's any longer than that, the team is already in position.
Yep.
Fascinating insight into the way that he has now got the entire club from first team to under 10s playing and, training.
Yep.
But we saw it in action in the game. And what was interesting is before, Julian Nagelsmann actually said, he was asked by Sky before, do you think that Leipzig are the best pressing team in the league? And, how do you feel about that? And he was like, well, I wouldn't characterise them as a team that only is known for their pressing and their pressure in that situation. Ironically, the opening goal comes from a situation exactly where Leipzig press, Hoffenheim make an error and they score. And it's quite an ironic moment in the game.
So let me get into Sandro Wagner. The reason why I want to get into him is because Joachim Löw...
You want to get into him? I mean, please.
Yes.
So tell me how you
The reason why I want to get onto this topic is because Joachim Löw was at the game.
Hmm.
Now, you mentioned that situation where he was sent off.
Yeah.
He helped, I think it was Ilsanker who got fouled.
Yeah.
He helped Ilsanker up, and then obviously Nagelsmann and the assistant coach also patted him on the back too. But was that something that you think was important to do in front of?
I think he loses marks, of course. You know, he's known as a hothead who's great for headlines and making quotes, giving quotes, and I think he hasn't done himself any favors based on the fact that in this game he had a chance to show the coach of the national team that perhaps while his quotes are still great, his hot-headedness is behind him, and I think he missed the trick there, especially when you consider the opposing team had the other German striker that is being considered for the national team and Timo Werner. And if that was a case of who are you going to take, then Werner definitely wins the afternoon. And Löw is obviously looking at options, considering Russia in mind. And it would have been a great opportunity for Wagner because, let's be honest, ever since he's come back and he played for Darmstadt and he moved to Hoffenheim, he's been great.
Yeah.
Not just scoring, but in the way that he's played. You've talked about it enough, Steph, saying how he holds the ball up, how he is involved in play. And sadly, we didn't see enough of that. And I think that was his fault. And he missed a real trick.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a red card, but it's kind of one of those red cards that looks a lot worse than it actually is, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
When you're actually playing a game and it happens to you, it doesn't hurt as much as it looks. I know it sounds silly, but it looked terrible, and it's obviously a red card, letter of the law, blah, 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 fine. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think for me, I think both of them should be looking for Germany in the future. I know that Sandro Wagner's not getting any younger, I guess. Is he 28, 29 now?
28, I think.
If Germany were playing in the next competition tomorrow, they'd both be in the squad for me.
Yeah.
And they both are different kind of players, but I think it just showed how important he is to the team as well when he did get sent off.
Yeah, that too.
As we've seen throughout the season, he's been tremendous. I've likened him to Lewandowski a few times in the past, and he's nowhere near the same kind of quality. But the way that he can hold off defenders, the way he can take the ball in, the way he can play people in, he's maybe, you know, a slightly lesser version of Lewandowski. In Germany, don't have anyone like that.
Yeah.
He's very much the kind of target man I think a lot of people thought Mario Gomez could have been. Mm-hmm. In a sense, Gomez is very straightforward. He can't hold up players like...
No, but Gomez still... I mean, look, it's an ongoing topic we haven't got enough time to talk about now, but Gomez still plays still offers an option.
Yeah.
He's still a very different option. If you have the wingers that Wolfsburg now do, or Germany have, then he's still option B. The interesting thing will be now if he's option C going into Russia, because if Timo Werner is effectively what Mario Götze hasn't been able to be for Germany, and Sandro Wagner is your option B because he holds the ball up so well, is Mario Gomez your, right, we've run out of both of those options, let's just get a big guy on who can score, you know? That would be interesting to see.
To talk about Hoffenheim in general for a minute, like John said, it'd be interesting to see how they respond to this.
Yeah.
I was going to ask that next. How do they respond? How do you think they will respond? Well, because like you said, what was interesting to me when I saw this game was Leipzig lost their composure against Bayern. I think that's actually why they lost so badly.
The occasion played a role there. So
of course, of course. I think it's tough going to the Munich when you're still the underdog after achieving what they did. Going to Munich for the first time is always tough. But I think that was the same test now kind of flipped, where Leipzig now, we've been the team that has gone through basically we're losing our composure. And I actually think that's Leipzig lost their composure a little bit from arguing that offside goal to, and I think they became a lot more sloppy at the back. I think things could have gotten out of hand really quickly in terms of mistakes that they could make. That's why I'm curious as where do you think that they'll basically how do we think that they'll react after losing their composure?
So they have Mainz at home, which is a game they really should be winning, as Dortmund fans are probably shouting at their audio devices right now. But the interesting thing I find is that, as I mentioned in the kind of predictions episode we did a few weeks ago, I think Hoffenheim are going to get maybe too much credit for this unbeaten run because a lot of it has been down to simple draws.
Absolutely.
In games they should have won.
Definitely.
And I also kind of have... I'm happy to be on my own in this. I think Nagelsmann's a bit cocky. I don't know if it's a facade he puts on. I know a lot of coaches have to have that bravado to keep the squad going. Undoubtedly for a guy who's so young.
It's working.
Yeah, and it's working, don't get me wrong, but... Does that fall apart when you start losing games, when things don't start going his way? And I think, like I said, also have to bear in mind that You know, the unbeaten run doesn't mean they're as good as a lot of people were suggesting, in my opinion. So,
definitely.
But Mainz are a perfect team, I think, to bounce back, because I think they're probably one of the most vulnerable teams in the Bundesliga right now.
Yeah.
Although they do have Bojan now.
Yeah, they do have Bojan. Yeah.
Well, that the next Messi he was once.
Still one of those, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, still one of those players from Stoke that was won the Champions League.
And the interesting thing would be, of course, that Dortmund are playing Leipzig. So Leipzig.
Yes, that's true.
So you're talking about a side following on from defeat. They have a reasonable opposition that they should beat, but actually it will be very interesting to gauge how good they are under Nagelsmann post-defeat at a team they should beat. Is it a draw or is it a win?
Yeah.
On the flip side, Leipzig still only 3 points behind Bayern, playing the team that they have, at least in terms of the table,
their first win.
Replaced.
That was their first win in the Bundesliga.
Their first win. And they're playing the team that they've effectively replaced in the table in one of the most intimidating stadiums in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting.
Who's the favourite in that game?
In Dortmund?
In Dortmund.
Probably Dortmund.
Yeah, Dortmund are always favourites at home.
Okay.
Yeah, they just because of
even what? Against, I mean, not
even though Leipzig is...
Yeah, even I would say that Dortmund even have a certain element of an edge against Bayern at home. Yes, maybe on paper it's different, but playing in that stadium makes a big difference. And but
if you're Union Berlin, then you take them to extra time.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Absolutely.
No, I think I agree. I think going back to that Bayern result, Dortmund showed that they can do something special at home. But I actually think Leipzig have a better squad right now, better team. They're playing better, so.
Yeah, well, just wait till you know the offers from China come in.
I think Leipzig should win that game. I'll go that far.
Yeah.
But I think Bayern, I think Dortmund are still favourites. I know that doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, I was like, wait, so they should win, but Dortmund are still favourites.
Leipzig are playing much better than Dortmund.
They have no defensive frailty. That's a huge concern.
But we'll move on to Dortmund later, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, one more thing I wanted to bring up actually from this game was these teams are known for being pretty compact, but I think Hoffenheim was more prone to being spread out than Leipzig was.
That's also partly because of the
way... I didn't mean to interrupt you. Was that basically because Leipzig are better at what they do at this style of play? So is now, because of this game, is Leipzig better at this style of play than Hoffenheim is?
Well, I think the red card plays a role in how you look at the way that they were able to stretch them.
One reason why I'm asking.
Yeah, I think they were able to stretch them because when you play that style of football, when pressing is intense and you try and win the ball out of the pitch, it's so noticeable when you're suddenly playing with a man less, because somebody has to do twice the work, and in the end it's not possible because the other team, Leipzig in this case, is looking, even when you have 11, to find the extra man, to find a gap, and if there's 10 instead of 11, you're going to find it quicker and you're going to find it more easily. So
I think Leipzig probably also have a better squad than Hoffenheim, so
yeah, there's that too.
A more expensive one, well maybe not more
and
expensive
and a better coach. Let's not forget that. Ralf Hasenhüttl is a better coach. He's had to deal with more. He's proved himself in the Bundesliga last season, as Steph said earlier. He did a fantastic job with Ingolstadt, and he's already got all of that. And you've got to remember, for Nagelsmann, all of this is the first time.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time he's done this. And
first time he's travelled to Leipzig with a team.
The first time he's had to deal with defeat or dealing with a team that's played this way and going
so
through them.
So crazy. It's the first time he's dealing with defeat. That's so crazy.
You know, people said the same thing when you think about Andre Breitenreiter coaching Schalke and you know being in the Europa League. It's the first time he's had to deal with that kind of situation. And it's the same here with Nagelsmann. And that's worth remembering because as a coach, you can't recall on, you know, you can't think, oh, I've done this 20. It's not Arsene Wenger. It's not Carlo Ancelotti. It's, you know, these coaches have got 20 years and they've been through almost every single experience. And that's what makes it so interesting now about Nagelsmann going into the next 6 months as well, because he's going to lose two key players in the summer. How's he going to react with that?
And there's now a bit of distance. Frankfurt now ahead of Hoffenheim by a good few points now, I think. I need to check the league table. I don't have it on me, but it's interesting because I think Kovac is also a deserving.
Frankfurt are 1 point ahead of us.
Okay, forget that then. But, you know, Frankfurt picked up.
Well, I mean, that's a good point. But we forget that Nagelsmann is 29 years old almost. Because of his accomplishments.
I mean, here in Germany, Hasenhüttl and Kovac get the credit. But I think from a British or an American point of view, it seems to be Nagelsmann's the one that the spotlight is really focused on right now. And as we've said countless times on here on this show, or I have anyway, Kovac is just a deserving Hazen.
Absolutely.
Yeah, said, more, so.
Just banging a drum.
I mean, if you want to know, if we want to get on the Kovac bandwagon, I mean, Stefan's driving.
He's the one in the driver's seat. Yeah. So. The Kovac bandwagon and the Kevin Campbell fan clubs up the back as well.
It's just a shame that this game came so early, because it's such a, I mean, this was a fixture that I think that we were blessed with at the beginning of the season too.
True.
And that we get it now at match day 18.
True, but on reflection, if you think about how late we're going to get Bayern Leipzig.
True.
And before, I know we're moving on, but one final point. This is a Leipzig team who, despite what they might say, are still challenging for a title.
Yes.
And if this was Bayern or Dortmund in a similar position who'd won that game against Hoffenheim, we'd be saying, wow, they're showing some great mental capacity.
Yes, absolutely.
And this is also a young, a Leipzig team who got promoted less than a year ago.
Yeah.
And they're winning big games at the top of the table in the middle of a title race.
And so, I think a lot of that is to do with their coach.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the other part of that title race, because we haven't talked about them actually in a while. Because honestly, they haven't been too interesting.
It hasn't been worth talking about.
It almost hasn't been worth talking about it because they're the same position that they always are. But we're going to talk about them today because I think, John, you made a good point off air. There are two wins in 2017. So two wins in 2017 came basically from individual brilliance. The first one being the goal that we talked about at the end of last week's show.
Unbelievable goal.
And the free kick from David Alaba with basically Thomas Müller wanting to be part of the action by setting a screen, even though we're playing football, not basketball. Do we need to worry about this team?
I mean, it's a valid question. I mean, we've talked about this a lot, all three of us and Ross as well, about how in the league, Carlo Ancelotti doesn't have a great record. You are his number one critic in that respect. and because he's just so passive on the sideline.
Davis.
Used them.
Okay.
But I think, on the one hand, you can say, look, Bayern aren't playing particularly well, and that's a concerning sign for them because of the way that they play football and their desire to dominate. But they are still winning, so that it's tough to criticize a team when at the end of the day you are winning the games. Christian Streich said after the defeat to Bayern on the opening match in 2017, he said, hey, what can I do? I can't do anything about that. Mm-hmm. And it's true, sometimes in games you can't, and that's why Bayern have these players, and that's why Bayern can do this, and we can sit here and say they're still 3 points clear at the top of the table, even though they haven't really played well for longer than maybe 20, 30 minutes in two games. They had lots of possession against Freiburg. I don't really remember much being forced on Schwolle in the Freiburg goal.
No, and if anything, and Freiburg the same, a better team in the second.
Exactly, game. And the same this weekend. Werder Bremen were excellent. I think they showed under Alexander Nuri that they have got some fight about them. Max Kruse was the goal of the game.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He showed why he shouldn't be at Werder Bremen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, if he can just,
I was thinking that too.
Get his mind straight, to be honest. But yes, on the one hand, we want to worry about Bayern because, this is, you're approaching the business end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Coming into the Champions League stretch where you need to be in form. And at the moment, as great as Frank Ribéry and Arjen Robben are, and their class is permanent, always will be, it's a difficult situation for Bayern to say they are still, after all of these years, the two most important players for us. Obviously, Thiago being out and now coming back is huge, but when it comes to, Bayern Munich and the players that they've got, you would expect now, transitioning away from two players that are both 33 years old.
Yeah. Well, one thing I will mention is we all thought Real Madrid was far and away the best team because they were on this ridiculous unbeaten run, and then they drop a few points in the league, and now the title race is still wide open. Is this the same thing? Could this be the same thing with Paderborn, Bayern? Even though, I feel like the way that they're playing, it's like, oh, they're winning, that's great, and they're still atop of the, for them, it's great, they're still atop of the league, but I mean, doesn't it seem like they could fall apart pretty quickly, or am I wrong?
No, I think I think with this Bayern team, it's a bit of give and take. I think, like John says, they still have this individual talent, which is just depend. That Robin goal was outstanding. It's not the Alba one gets all the headlines because a great free kick, but for him to take that on a bounce and
Well, even the run he made, I think. I mean, he saw that I think I said this off air too. The Werder Bremen defense was going back.
Yeah.
He recognized that pocket that was there, and then boom, in the back of the net.
He's an outstanding player who wins games, but he also did that for long stretches during Pep's time as well. You put that down to a lot of the reasons why Bayern didn't get renewed the Champions League final last year, because once again, Robin gets injured. But the problem is, he's a great player, and they depend on. But when he gets injured, things begin to bobble.
And that can't be the case of Bayern.
Yeah,
with the quality they have.
Well, they have to look at guys like Kingsley Coman and Douglas Costa. The week before in Freiburg, Costa was in left with Alba, and it just didn't work at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Costa's a long-term replacement for Ribery, either Alba has to move inside, and Bernat and Costa work on things, or Costa has to move inside, or whatever, move Costa to the right. That just doesn't work. But
it's tough right now, I'll say. I don't mean to interject, but it's tough because for Alaba, and basically his left back, most of his left back career was playing behind Frank Ribery.
Yeah.
You know, he's the player that he's been combining with for probably, 75% of his career.
Mm.
And, I mean, Pep Guardiola did not play David Alaba and Douglas Costa on the same flank. Like, he did, but not as often as Frank Ribery and David Alaba played together.
I mean, Alaba's been absent in terms of form for a very long time, and people don't talk about it because they've been distracted by Thomas Muller, and obviously that's another issue, but he's been really out of form. And I think that might be one of the reasons, because he hasn't had... Ribery's obviously a very good friend of his, and they always have a great understanding. He hasn't had that connection.
Yeah, I think what was really telling for me a couple of weeks ago was when Ancelotti did an interview with ESPN with Gab Marcotti, and he talked about a whole bunch of things, but one of the things that really stood out for me was when he was asked about Pep Guardiola's style at Bayern.
Mm-hmm.
He was asked, what do you change when you came in? One of the things he did change, quite evidently, any Bayern fan will know, is that the team got so much slower. They don't press the way they did under Pep, and Ancelotti, complimentary, was saying, I don't think that works. At the very highest level, he said that the very best teams or the very best players can still pass the ball around a team that, gegenpresses whatever as quickly as it possibly can. Now, he believes that, and I think actually there's a reason behind that. I think the way that we're seeing Bayern play right now in the Bundesliga doesn't work, but I think it's going to probably pay off in the Champions League. It's far more suited to Champions League football, where teams are more likely to attack Bayern, and that means they can counter better. Pep style, I think, at Bayern didn't work as well because they were going all out and they were exposed at the back. We saw Boateng on his ass when Messi's coming up against him, for example.
But it did work in the league.
Yeah, it did work in the league, but that's the flip side. So it's almost the Bundesliga style play is so different from the Champions League style. It's almost like Ancelotti or whoever's in charge of Bayern now has to pick one. He's obviously picked the Champions League. That's clearly why he's here.
Yes.
But it now means that Bayern just look pretty abject and they rely on guys like Robin to win games. The thing is, though, they've been terrible. And aside from that Leipzig result, which I think really threw everyone...
It was the best performance of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Although, Leipzig are a team who play like the kind of teams they're going to be playing in the Champions League. They got right in Bayern's face, attacking right in the way, and Bayern ready to work around that. So Bayern fans can probably take a lot of positives from thinking if that's how teams attack them in the Champions League, they'll do better. But the problem is, from one week to the next in the Bundesliga, it just means they look so abject. They look so... lost for incentive, and they came up against a good Freiburg team, a really average Werder Bremen team. Now, credit to Werder Bremen, in the last game, last week, they were terrible. They came up against Bayern and they really gave themselves some decent credit.
Well, one thing I'll say about Werder Bremen is that I said this about Alexander Neuer before, is that you also mentioned that he's really improved the individual quality of each player, and I also said that, Viktor Skripnik was just so static. We talk about body language on the sideline. Alexander Nori seems like he's getting his team up to play against a team like Bayern Munich, whereas Viktor Skripnik did not, which is why the beginning of the season, Viktor Skripnik lost 6-0, and why Alexander Nori was able to actually compete with Bayern Munich, even though the game was over probably at halftime.
Yeah, most of the scores of Bremen's recent games against Bayern have been cricket scores, Actually, for them to come away with a 2-1 defeat and play and be the best side, really, for the last 20-odd minutes, 30 minutes, was a huge credit and a sign of how far they've come.
Now, John, I remember you saying last season that when we were talking about the title race, you were talking about Bayern and Dortmund, and you're like, Bayern are not dropping points. So when Dortmund drop points, it's a big deal.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Every single time that Dortmund drop points, I mean, it's basically they're slowly throwing the title away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you feel the same way about Leipzig this season?
Well, it's interesting. It's a good question. I don't feel like Leipzig dropping points is ruining them the title, because the expectation is not there. They can finish in the top four and that's mission accomplished. They're not really going for the title. Yes, they will say that they're fighting for it because they're only 3 points behind, and that's, you know, they would be wrong to say that they're not. But if they lose a game or they draw a game and Bayern, you know, eke away by 6-7 points, they've still won, essentially. They can't lose in the situation they're in. And I think the expectation on Dortmund is higher because the club demands more. The players who go there want to be in the Champions League and want to change the rhetoric of the league in previous years, and because they have spent the last few years building up this rivalry with Bayern Munich. Mm-hmm. So, of course, when they draw against Mainz, everyone's like, well, holy moly, why are they dropping points again? But I don't feel with Leipzig when they drop points, and it's easy for me to say that because Leipzig rarely drop points, and that's maybe the biggest difference. I always still feel that Dortmund are good for a draw against Mainz, whereas with Leipzig, I just don't see it. And that's what makes them very similar to Bayern for me. Because even going into these games, and even though they rely a lot on individual talent, I never feel like Bayern Munich are going to draw against Bremen. Mm-hmm. I never feel like Bayern Munich aren't going to get a win against Freiburg, even if it takes them until the 89th minute, because that's Bayern Munich.
Mm-hmm.
And Leipzig are, although they're very young, are developing that same trend. They're saying, well, we're not going to drop points, whether it's Hoffenheim or whoever, you know. So interesting. I mean, Ingolstadt, it's an exception, but
yeah,
I think the points.
Well, Ingolstadt had a pretty good go at their former coach.
Absolutely,
so
yeah, they did.
I think that has to be. But I get your point. What do you think about that, Stefan?
Yeah, I mean, I think the interesting thing for me that pops out is that Leipzig's strengths are completely opposite of Bayern's right now. They press teams really hard, unlike Bayern, and they have a whole smorgasbord of players who can move into that team and come and go, you know, like even like players like Oliver Burke, who haven't played that much, they can come in against the entire team and throw things at them. They've got, you know, they've got Forsberg, they've got Werner, they've got maybe two or three other Selke, for example. I know Selke hasn't played well, but
we forget that Forsberg is suspended.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's a really good point, actually, which we didn't mention. If Leipzig fans are listening, they'll be screaming, thinking we didn't even acknowledge that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they've got these players who can come in, and they've got real. Keita, for example, he's a world beater.
But it's a machine, and it's like Bayern were under Guardiola.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a machine.
Yeah.
You take a piece out and you put another one in, it still works.
Whereas actually, Bayern, under Heikes too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Bayern now are very much, well, these guys are going to be, you know, it's like a chessboard. These are my pawns. These are my knights. These are my and then you know which pieces are stronger and where to use them. Whereas before, it was a case of, well, this is a machine. I don't have to worry about a cog breaking because I'll just put the next one in. And so Leipzig do the same now. You know, you lose Forsberg, who's essentially their best player, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And you beat Hoffenheim 2-1, no worries. And people are like, oh, did we have him away? I didn't even know that we didn't have him, you know?
But that's such a strong, like, thing to have for a team. Like, because
hugely.
If you think about Bayern Munich right now, they're maybe drawing 1-1 with team in the 60th minute. They all they can do is turn to Robin and Lewandowski, who are already playing, and hope for the best.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a team like Leipzig, who are maybe 1-1 with a team, and this other team who are defending, trying to keep this draw, they can see them take off, for example, Selke, and they can bring on Werner, or, you know, they've got so much talent that they can bring onto the pitch, and then that team that they're playing against, like, God, we've got to play against this guy now, and because Leipzig are right in your face, I don't know. I just think I think Leipzig again playing much better football than Bayern right now. And I agree. I think Leipzig
sure looks like it for sure.
And Leipzig, you're right. They have very quickly built up this mentality. Like, we're not going to lose to anyone.
Yeah.
And it's not just because, like, most, we get a lot of pro teams in the Bundesliga do surprisingly well. Like Hertha, for example, who have very specific good players around the pitch. Leipzig have this, you know, whole ethos that, you know, like 11 Spartans from
the pitch. But it's interesting that, you know, you say Hertha, Frankfurt, Hertha, Hoffenheim haven't created that, but they're playing really well and they're exceeding expectations. And yet Leipzig, their first season in the Bundesliga ever, and they've already created that aura, which is like, well, we don't lose games. What are you talking about? It's amazing.
Yeah.
To go to once again give Kovac more credit, he did it with a team that almost got relegated and didn't have any money to spend.
Yes.
So,
well, don't talk to me about teams that are overperforming.
Yeah. Well, one thing I wanted before we're going to get on to we're going to go down to a segment in a second that I think that we definitely need to do with the transfer window closing. But one thing I wanted to bring up too is that Leipzig got knocked out of the German Cup in the first round and aren't in the Champions League.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. But even with the squad that they have, I think that they could cope. But comes back to the thing I said earlier about Nagelsmann. Experience. They haven't been in this situation before.
Mm-hmm.
So if they, you know, next season is going to be intriguing when they have Champions League and Cup and Bundesliga. How are you going to deal with that? Are you going to buy another 20 players?
Mm-hmm. So we're also at the end of January. Bayern Munich are ahead 3 points on Leipzig.
Yep.
So we won't try to forecast the title race now, but what I want to do, end of February now, so a month's time, who's leading the Bundesliga? Stefan?
At the end of February.
Well, let's play it sensibly and have a look at the games, right? So Bayern have Schalke, then they have Ingolstadt, then they have Hertha, and then they have Hamburg. So those are all games.
That's four wins.
Leipzig have Dortmund away, Hamburg at home, Gladbach away, and then Cologne. So actually, if you're looking to the end of February, Leipzig have a much tougher stretch.
Yeah, definitely.
So Bayern will be top.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree, actually. I think there's a really good chance Leipzig could drop points to either Dortmund or Gladbach. Okay.
Well, we'll definitely see, because this is the time now where Bayern Munich have other responsibilities.
They do.
And like you said...
Like, you know, signing deals with Apple.
Yes,
sorry,
that too.
Sorry, couldn't resist.
Yes, that too. Now, I think what we wanted to do, since this, rather than go through another game, we wanted to, with the transfer window closing very shortly, we wanted to look through the table and see what needs each club have. We'll try to do it as quickly as possible. But since we have Bayern Munich and Leipzig top, do they need to bring in anybody?
Leipzig don't need anybody. Bayern could do with another striker.
No, okay. Bayern could do with number 10, actually, I think, or attacking midfielder.
No striker, they've got no one other than Lewandowski. Julian Green is gone now, Stefan.
No. I mean, attacking central midfielder. They only have Thiago, there's no one else but Thiago there.
Yes.
So I think.
You play Costa in the middle.
Like in the centre midfield?
Okay, Pep Guardiola.
Sorry. You can play him in the 10.
Yeah, okay, Pep Guardiola. Yeah, okay. All right, so let's go down to 3 and 4. Eintracht Frankfurt and Dortmund.
No, Frankfurt are solid. Dortmund need about 4 defenders.
Okay.
And a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And a defence midfielder to give Weigl some help.
Yes.
And they're probably need our strikers because Aubameyang's leaving this summer.
And midfielder because they need to take pressure off Julian Weigl. So let's
see. Royce is probably about to get injured, so maybe a couple of wingers to go. Yeah.
So Dortmund need another squad.
What do you think Dortmund need?
No, I think Dortmund need a defender or two, but above everything else. I mean, you've signed Dizak to compensate for having only Aubameyang and selling Ramos. You have to, maybe Weigl giving him another option there would be great, but your priority has to be another defender.
Okay. So defender is the biggest need. Yeah.
You're not going to get one. It's one day left.
No.
Ain't no defenders on the market.
All right. Hoffenheim and Hertha. Hoffenheim just lost to Leipzig, but for now, they still have Süle and Rudi.
True. Hoffenheim are a bit like Frankfurt. They're really solid, but I would say they do need a defender because Süle is going to be a huge loss and they need to replace him.
Yeah. I think that they can replace him. I think they can replace him in the summer. Do you think that their midfield is okay?
Well, with Rudi going as well, it's perhaps a little bit light. I mean, Kevin Vogt is okay.
Okay.
But, yeah, maybe one more.
And Hertha?
I think Hertha need another couple of forwards, actually. I think they're
They're a bit light. Bisevic is too. And then, but they also.
This entire squad is pretty top heavy, though, and they seem to get away with it.
Yeah, but they could do someone a bit better out wide. Like, I mean, Kalou's
down
there. He's actually better down the middle.
They play a front three, don't they? Yeah. And Kalou plays out left.
I think when Weiss was back in form, Weiss
is
much better.
It's hard to think who do Hertha need because the entire team's overachieving.
So. Alright, so next down, we have 7 and 8 is Cologne and Freiburg.
Cologne needs something interesting, that's for sure.
Honestly, I don't think you saw it. I mean, I know that they played Darmstadt, but I think that that Stöger's pretty happy with the attacking
team. Yeah, I mean, Cologne, he's got Bittencourt in attack, he's got Modest up front, he's got a decent, maybe another defender, just to add a bit more weight.
Not Mladenovic or someone like that Belarus.
The only thing I'd say with Cologne is, like you said, someone to maybe take the pressure off Bittencourt.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe another playmaker.
Yeah, and Freiburg? They have the best attack in the league.
Need nobody. No. Freiburg could do with another defender.
I think so, too.
And they could perhaps do with a bit more help in midfield. Mike France is good, but he's not getting any younger.
Okay. Now, here comes the underachieving teams. Leverkusen and Mainz.
Leverkusen definitely. Everyone needs a defender.
Yeah.
Leverkusen definitely, because Toprak's going and Tah needs someone to help him.
But they've got Dragovic as well. And then who else? They got a fourth as well.
Yeah, but that's it. Romalo's out on loan at Mainz.
No, he's sold to Mainz.
He's gone. There's no one left. Yeah, they only have three. I think Toprak's gone in the summer.
I'm going to be controversial here. I think he needs two decent fullbacks, actually.
I think they need two decent fullbacks for many years.
Young,
Wendell's not
decent
great.
Fullbacks.
Oh, yeah, Henrik's is a winger converted.
Way too attacking. They need the only other right back they got is like Yetvaj, and he's just as bad.
Yeah.
So
he can't see. He needs a haircut.
Need solid fullbacks. Yeah.
Okay.
Midfield's
fine. Bellerin is back.
Do you know what? I'm not too sure about Arangues these days. Kevin Campbell does a lot of heavy lifting in that.
They could do with someone to help Chicharito.
I just sell Chicharito, get him out.
Yeah.
Well, Follan, when he's gone, he's going to be back.
Follan's injured, so yeah. But I know what you mean.
He's not been great, though.
Yeah.
Still relying on Kiesling.
But I think that's something that's going to adjust in summer. Keep in mind, we're doing this, and usually, the Bundesliga doesn't have a practice.
If they buy anybody in January, it's for the summer. They buy them in the summer.
They have signed Brody, the winger.
Yeah.
They signed the winger Brody from Holland.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. He looks decent. But.
Yeah. Mainz, I think they did more shopping than they did the buying, but...
Bailey, do you mean?
Yes, I do, actually. Okay. Sorry. Who's Brody?
I was going to say.
Sorry
about that. So Mainz has been in a more...
Jaws.
Yeah, there
it is. Okay.
No, it's all right. Mainz has been selling more than...
I don't know. They just got Bojan. That's a decent sign
for them.
I mean, look. Okay.
So bizarre.
Yeah, I know. But maybe he's back and forth and he's a bit of a wandering soul. But that is a huge steal for a club like Mainz to get a former player of Barcelona who had a buyout clause of 100 million.
And I would have said forward was probably their biggest need, too.
Yeah, take a bit of pressure off Matos, come back up.
Cordoba's had to play all the time. So just having someone else, even if it's on loan.
See, Stefan Bell's one of those players from Mainz that should be bought and go somewhere up. He should step it up. He's good enough.
But their defense.
I like Stefan Bell, but I think he gets a lot of being the man around Mainz.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is why he should up his game and see if he could hack it at. I don't know.
Okay.
The next step.
Now back to the underachievers, Schalke and Augsburg. Oh. So Schalke first. They've bought so many players, and Weinzierl's just not playing.
Daniel Caligiuri is a really odd signing.
Yeah, that was odd. That was really,
really
weird.
Bizarre. Especially because Caligiuri said a week before, I don't know where this rumor has come from. There's nothing in it. a week later.
Almost as if players lie.
Yeah, it's almost like they don't want to go to Schalke. No, that was a strange signing. Schalke need a striker.
Schalke need to sign Max Meyer down to...
No, actually, you know what? I don't think they need a striker.
Really?
I think that Burgstaller... I think Burgstaller is actually, for what he is, and what he's basically trying to replace, which is Embolo, I think that he's a good sure number...
Huntelaar's, done, right? So your number one choice by fee alone is Embolo.
Yeah.
Then you have Burgstaller. Is that enough to get where you want to be as Schalke? I'm not sure.
No.
Max Meyer, get him down, but he hasn't been great of late. Benteleb, get him.
Yes,
I know. He's been awesome.
I think they have... Spurs fan can correct me, but I think they have a buy option on him.
Okay, because they should definitely use that. Yeah. He's been one of their best players.
Yeah.
All right, and Augsburg?
Well, Augsburg apparently just signed Moritz Leitner from Lazio, they've got a bit of bulk in midfield.
Yeah.
Bobadilla signed an extension.
I think
so
they needed another midfielder, too.
Midfield?
I think that was their... They've needed a striker for a long time, but they can't afford anybody better than Dong Wonji, so...
He's not bad. Sure, a great goal.
He's a solid player, but he's not, a goal scorer.
It's amazing how none of the teams we've named have needed a keeper.
Yeah.
No.
If
Ringtop was here, he'd say Leverkusen the new keeper.
More underachievers, Gladbach and Wolfsburg. Gladbach got a new coach, but
Gladbach definitely needs some weight in midfield, especially in holding midfield. Ever since they got rid of Xhaka, they haven't really done he's just a pedestrian in midfield.
Yeah.
I really don't rate him.
If they sell Doe,
they have enough wide men
trouble.
But they've got Hahn as another option for Raphael.
Mm-hmm.
But I still feel like they lack a bit of bite up front.
Yeah, I think
if Raphael's not playing.
Well, you saw what happened when Raphael and Hazard were both injured. I mean, their team completely fell apart. I mean, Stindl cannot be there by himself. He needs one of those players to play with.
They just need a bit more support in midfield because you know, when they drive forward or when they have to set and then they lose the ball, they don't have much holding weight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What I will say is that the Hood seems to have very quickly got a lot better since Schubert's left. And the whole situation with the Hood with Schubert was
strange.
Really weird.
It was strange.
The club were being all over the place with that.
Oscar Bent is good. He's probably too good for Gladbach,
I
think.
Yeah. And just to add, I think actually Gladbach probably is a striker, actually. I think Rafa was really good, but he's so inconsistent.
Yeah.
And they seem to have like a million men, but no actual guy who...
Pan
like,
is one of those.
That's my striker. And the same with the wingers. They've got like 12 wingers and none of them are really that good.
I think I brought that up at the beginning of the season, that they have too many players that are kind of like the same level.
True, but it works if you play with Rafael and he's on fire, because you just have four wingers that do the same thing, and that works when you flood forward, but it makes them one-dimensional.
All right, Wolfsburg, they basically have been by far the most active.
Always the case with Wolfsburg, but apparently they've signed former Wolfsburg Bundesliga winner with Wolfsburg in 2009. Ashkan Ndjaga, they've signed him back. He's 30. They've got Madlung coming in. Apparently, they've got Peter Pekarik, which is quite an interesting deal, because what does that mean about Ricardo Rodriguez's future or, you know, and the future of football?
Well, Pekarik is a right back, though, isn't he?
Yeah, but the way that Wolfsburg are playing defence at the moment, Ricardo Rodriguez is playing centre back.
Yeah.
And their defensive line last weekend was Gerhard. Rodriguez, Bruma, and.
Farinha, right?
No. Seguin. He had three midfielders. I was like, what is happening here? It's crazy.
Pep Guardiola, wet dream right now.
Bonkers.
What
do they need?
I think Wolfsburg deserve a bit of credit for who they have signed.
Yes, absolutely. Quick Step and Tep is awesome. Absolutely love him. And he's going to...
Quick Step and Tep, you trademarked that right.
Absolutely. And he's great. And he's going to be the reason that Mario Gomez is going to finish the season with like 12 goals.
Yeah. Mali as well, been really good.
Mali's been great. So they've already done their business.
Yeah. So they're fine.
Maybe another defender.
I think everybody needs a defender.
Everybody needs a defender.
Yeah. Werder Bremen.
Jeez.
Have you got Finn Bartels? Everybody needs Finn Bartels.
Yeah. They've needed defense for ages.
They could do with a keeper. They could do with...
Yeah, what the hell is he doing for that?
That's Felix Wiedwald.
I know you said that free kick hit the sweet spot, but... I'm sure, guys, if you're listening to this, go back and watch the replay. He dives for it. He never fully extends his arms, and it's like a foot away. Oh my god, it drives me nuts when I watch
that. They're perhaps the only team in the league where I think they could definitely do with it. Like, if they had like Marvin Hitz, for example, like he's decent and underrated at Augsburg, you know, like someone like that.
Yeah. He would leave Augsburg too. I think Marvin Hitz would leave Augsburg.
I think Werder Bremen are actually really quite top heavy as well. So maybe some defenders.
Yeah. Oh, look at that.
Ingolstadt. Now we're getting into
some serious depth.
They're in the weeds now.
They could also do with a keeper. They haven't got a good one. And defensively.
Well, they lost their Erskine is now. Yeah, that was
the. He's the number two at Leverkusen. They keep swapping between Hansen and someone else.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about Ingolstadt is a bit like what we were saying earlier. They play so well collectively that it's hard because you like take out individual pieces and that they're not a team that can perform without their top players. But a lot of it's just very mediocre.
I actually don't think that they need anything. I know that their attack has been.
It could do with a bit. I mean, Pascal Gross and Morales in midfield are pretty decent. Gross is phenomenal. That goal on the weekend was insane. But
I mean, there's interesting pieces there. I think Lescano is still pretty good.
He's good,
not great. And I think that Lecky is Lescano is a guy more of a work rate guy than you have Lecky, who does not want to defend and he just really
he's
fast.
Got his talent,
you've got Hartman. You've got Lescano. Yeah. You've got enough. But again.
But, I mean, what is the guy like? A bit weak.
I mean, Suttner's great from the set piece, but they're a bit weak sometimes out wide.
Yeah, that's
defensively.
True. That's
for a team that should be in a division, you know.
Yeah,
it's hard to say what do they not need, because they could technically do with it.
Well, they're in the relegation zone, so they need something.
You've got the right coach, though.
Yeah.
There's a gamble that paid off.
Yeah, so a team with a bunch of gambles that didn't pay off, which was Hamburg.
That's my reaction, just laugh.
They signed Brazilian.
Yeah, Wallace with 1L.
Yeah.
Who's he? Where is he?
He's from Grêmio, and he is, I think, 21 years old. He's a defensive midfielder. Now, you said it right. Hamburg's track record with Brazilians isn't great. Douglas Santos was not great, and also I'm always skeptical about defensive midfielders from Brazil.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Look, what you mean.
Luis Gustavo
played in the Bundesliga for a while.
He's great. Luis Gustavo is great.
Gustavo's still in the Bundesliga.
He's still in the Bundesliga.
Yeah, he had that back pass from Wolfsburg. He had that back pass that led to that crazy pinball goal over the weekend.
But he is struggling to think of Dunga. Yeah, okay, maybe. But you know, you have to go back a bit.
So for a
team that desperately needs quality, that was a bit of a risky signing. What could Hamburg do with it? They could do with a defense. They could do with a better keeper. Yeah. Martinez is a number two keeper. They've got the wingers. I mean, Nikolai Müller is their best player, in my opinion. He could do with a striker. Hamburg need a lot.
Yeah, I know they were desperate for defenders. They wanted like three or four central defenders. They got Papadopoulos.
Yeah.
And was it Mavrai from...
Yeah, Mavrai.
Yeah, he's not bad, but...
Yeah. He's not bad, but...
So
he
signed this guy, he's obviously
in a
defensive
team,
yeah,
in a known... The thing is, Mavrai is not bad, but for a defensive coach, if you can't make the cut with a defensive coach,
absolutely.
Then there's basically there's something wrong with you.
There's a question mark, definitely. Yeah.
So, and then the lone machine, which is Darmstadt.
Darmstadt need 11, 12 players.
They
need 10 players because the only player they don't need to replace is Aytek Sulu. Even though he scores an own goal now and again, he is definitely their best player. Standout by far and away.
Should have followed Dirk Schuster to Augsburg, in my opinion.
Yeah, he would have been decent at Augsburg.
Yeah.
But he's one of those players. I don't know how old he is. Is he old?
He's in his 30s.
You know, see, maybe he's missed the boat then. Because Darmstadt are going to get relegated, right? And then no one's going to be like, we want a 30-something defender. But he's one of those players that would be great at like an Augsburg.
Mm-hmm.
I've got nothing to say about that.
So
let's.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, it's been fun.
So now let's go to some of the questions. Thank you for sending in the questions. You can always send us questions at Tribune of Podcast if you have them, or on our Facebook page as well when we post on our Facebook page. But yeah, we haven't written anything in a while on our Facebook page.
Yeah, I shared a comment from me on it today. Okay, so
huge progress.
So, but yeah, so I mean, reach out to us. I think we're all very open. So criticize us with anything and tell us what you think. Previously unbeaten Hoffenheim lose to Leipzig. We addressed that early in the show. I think it's the Krakauer, which is Leipzig, right?
Kreisgauer.
Yeah, the Kreisgauer. Can they go on a little run? Now we just went over their schedule. Yeah. He says it's an easy schedule, but it was Dortmund and Cologne and some really tough. Some teams that have some quality. Do you think that Leipzig can continue their run?
Well, I think I think when he talks about Kreisgau, I think he means Hoffenheim,
okay,
not Leipzig. We talked about it earlier. Can they go on a run after losing? It will be the defining moment of the season for Nagelsmann, because how they play over the next few games will ultimately define how he is as a manager.
Mm-hmm.
Their next few games are Mainz at home. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have Wolfsburg away. That's not easy based on their signings. Then they've got Darmstadt at home. That should be a rugby score. And then they have a game that I can't see. Schalke away. So actually, not an easy stretch.
Not as easy as it may seem on paper.
No, there'll be a couple of telling games there. So they'll pump Darmstadt, fine. Mm-hmm. But then they've got Schalke, Ingolstadt, and Wolfsburg. So not easy.
Yeah. Although I can see Nagelsmann really doing his homework on Wolfsburg and Schalke.
Oh, absolutely. But so, it will be interesting to see how those two teams respond as well.
So that was Joshua R. Duder on Twitter.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you very much. Sorry, I got messed up the crash gallery.
Believe that.
It's fine, Dave. You don't speak any German.
Yeah. All right. Finlay Reed at Finlay Reed on Twitter says, after Schalke's inability to play out from the back versus Frankfurt, is the formation a bigger issue for the attack than the attacking players?
I think Schalke have suffered from their inability to create enough chances, and that starts at the back for sure, but they haven't been dangerous enough in almost every aspect of their play, whether it was this weekend or last weekend. You know, we said it when we talked about their 1-0 win. You know, that was a horrendous game. And this time they just got picked out by a team who had a good set-piece routine. And Niko Kovac is a good enough manager to know that there are more than one way to win again.
Yeah, I think it'd be really interesting to be a fly in the wall at Schalke this season, because it's a transition year. And not only do they have a new coach, but they have a new you know, general manager as well. And both of them are very, you know, resolute in their own beliefs. So I think you've got two moving plates, you've got two like moving discs and or cogs in this machine, whatever, blah, blah, blah. terrible metaphor. But yeah, so things definitely haven't clicked yet for Schalke.
No, but it would be interesting to see how they deal with that pressure, because Heidel has already said, you know, he's obviously a little bit disgruntled about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, you have two men that you believed, I certainly believed, were going to be the dream team coming into the situation, and there isn't really a sign that there's a touch. You can't look at the team the way they play and say, oh, Marcus Weinz was their coach. You know, there's not really a feeling there, and I think that's a bit of a problem. Schalke, you know, the Schalke fans are obviously incredibly frustrated with the way that their team's playing. The expectation is as high as it always has been at the club, if not higher, because of the two men that have come in.
So. And then how much they spent to basically get them too.
Yeah, but also, you know...
Well, it's funny, because they were... If you watched, I think, the highlights, there was Horst Held just smoking in the stands. And I thought that was the best image like, of the weekend.
If Schalke fans ever needed like a new photo for a meme, it's like hi guys.
Yeah, exactly.
There's also a reminder of, you know, it could still be a lot worse.
Yeah, perhaps.
It was interesting too, because I was actually, I don't like to credit other sources a lot, but Kicker had a great poll on, which was, who is to blame for Schalke's struggles? Is it the players? Is it the manager? Or is it the front office? If you guys have to vote in that poll, what would you say?
I'd actually say it's probably the players, actually. Yeah.
Most people said the players.
Yeah, I think there's a lot going on in that squad. I think, like you said, Max Meyer's head seems already turned.
Yeah.
Goretzka still isn't really coming on the way he should be. You've got players like Kovacic?
No.
Kolasinac. Who apparently...
Yeah,
Chelsea won.
Yeah, but he's been linked to the clubs for the last two years now.
True. Well, he's a free in the summer, though.
Yeah.
So. But it's one of those, he's free in the summer, Schalke want money for him, do they sign him to a new deal? I think he's the number one player of the squad who you watch and you think, that guy is identifying with this club.
Yeah.
He's so committed.
I agree with that.
And if they lose him, that's a huge loss for the club, for the way they want to go forward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think there's still a lot.
So, but it's the players.
Yeah.
Because actually, I actually think it's the opposite. I think that this is a situation, like you said. I mean, the last few weeks, for some reason, I've been saying that managers should be basically sacked left and right. Basically, Tuchel should be going and all these stuff.
Maybe
but I'm not trying to say that...
The new man on The Apprentice, you fired.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not trying to say... I mean, I'm an American now. Apparently, that's what we are.
You said it.
Yeah.
He's trying to break walls down, though. He's not trying to build them.
Yeah, right. But what
he's
I'm...
firing people at front.
What I'm trying to say is that I think that this is just a situation that it was a very bold thing to do, to bring in a new sporting director and a new manager at the same time. And I just don't think it worked. Now, who goes... I don't know.
Don't you think it's a bit quick to say that?
It is a little bit quick, but
you're only talking about 6 months.
But the thing is, when you see, I think we brought up this point earlier, when you see that Weinzierl does not have the confidence to play the players that Christian Heidel brought in. Konrad Plyanka only plays in the Europa League. I mean, Benjamin Stambouli, I think people forgot that he was at Schalke.
Yeah, but Weinzierl also has the issue that he's not playing players who clearly should be playing, like Donis Advejai, for example. He's obviously a player that needs to be playing at the moment and sometimes isn't. So I don't know whether it's just his confrontation, if there is one, with Heidel about players. But it's also, I still think he's figuring out what his best 11 is, how he gets the best out of his players.
But
and
I mean, Schalke
is so short.
But Schalke has also just brought, I mean, he's still trying, obviously this is still something that Weinzierl is trying to figure out. And yet Heidel is bringing all of these players in and making it even, like, making the situation even more complicated.
Absolutely. You're right there that maybe there's a miscommunication between the two, because more players isn't going to help a situation. It's already a circus. Schalke's already been a circus. Let's not bring more animals to the zoo. You know?
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't make any sense.
That's the feeling that I have.
Sure, but ultimately, on match day, whatever the noise outside, you as an individual, as the 11 players on the pitch, have to get it done. And they haven't done that. Yes, some of that blame lies on the coach, but at the end of the day, as Steph said.
Well, I just, because there was there's also an article in Kicker basically saying, showing all the weak spots. They're too slow in their build-up. They don't have the passion that they had in previous years, and they basically can't finish in front of the goals. Those are like the three biggest problems that every team that's struggling has.
Yeah.
You know, at some point, it has to come down to the people that are bringing these players in and that are trying to motivate them to play, to get up for a match.
Absolutely, but I don't think that point is known.
Now, okay.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. There's like the buck does fall at Weinsteel and Heidel, yeah. But I think the fans probably give them at least a season.
At least.
Wait till the summer, wait till probably half the players mm-hmm. move on and then let the dust settle, then
yeah.
take it from there probably.
Yeah.
But they'll probably end up finishing 7th or 8th and there'll be another year of crappy Europa League shit, you know.
Trips to Azerbaijan.
Yeah, exactly, you know.
Well, also, I mean, we've already...
It's Copa Playanka, you'll get plenty more game time next season.
We've also seen, what is it, 8 coaches sacked in the Bundesliga?
Yeah, the last thing Schalke
so
is
we don't need to see any more. But I'm just saying, I mean, maybe it's just a weird transitive property to do between some of the clubs that sack their coaches. But I mean, if these coaches haven't gotten a chance, then
you also have to think that on another level, a manager is connecting with a group of players, a staff, a club, a city. And if you're sacking him 6 months through that process, not only is that unfair on the individual, really, because he has to have the time to develop that, but it's also extremely difficult for anybody new coming into that situation, especially if they've already had another job, you know, to transition into that. And time in football is, you know, a lost property, but you see it with other managers under pressure.
There's no way Vance is going anywhere.
No, okay.
I think it's just, there's just too much upheaval.
Yeah.
It's not
yeah.
for this season.
I mean, Jens Keller was there for ages, so I think that Vance is at least going to get a chance. Finlay Reid, thank you for that question, because that sparked this
debate. Yeah, good man.
But now let's get into our shouts from the Tribune before we go. Stefan, what do you want to start?
Oh, let me guess.
Well, you guys have talked about it for the last 2 weeks at least, and I've not been here to pitch in, so I felt like...
Even though you've been on two of the previous three shows that
well,
we had in 2017.
The basic fact is that we can't have a show without Steph getting this information off his chest.
Yes.
Almost
exactly.
Every week. And sadly,
well, you know, I really enjoyed last week's shows. I'm sure
mm-hmm.
our many followers have as well. I was going to say like many dozens.
That's probably dozens.
Yeah.
No, it's thousands. But
modesty a trend here on
no anyway yeah I really enjoyed last week's show. You guys talked about it thoroughly, but after the game against Mainz, it was just more of the same. I'm of course talking about Dortmund. I'm of course talking about the absolute train wreck that they are right now, and it's just more of the same old shit, you know. Here in Germany it seems to be the case that everyone's talking about Tuchel. What's going on with Tuchel? Is he coming? Is he going? He's saying things in the press which contradict what a lot of people in the press know as fact. I can't really go into any more detail, but you know, he's saying a lot of silly things in the press. He's, you know, his face is tripping him in interviews and things like that. The club seem to be, you know, selling players, taking players. I'm already on the record how I feel about the way Vatska deals with the transfer record, but just, you know, the game against Mainz, you know, counter-attack, an interception in the middle of the park, Schürrle picks up the ball, runs 20 yards, and then plays Marco Reus through, who's completely unmarked, 20 feet away from anyone else, and he scores a very comfortable goal. Dortmund have a bit more luck. You know, they maybe could have scored 3 goals after that 10 minutes later, but at half-time it's 1-0, and I literally see on Twitter, Dortmund are all over this, so naturally Mainz are going to score, and it's going to be hell.
Mm-hmm.
And sure,
that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, well, they did score immediately. They scored like in the 80th minute, but like we all saw it coming, and it's, you know, it's still the exact same. I know Dortmund were really good last season, right? So I gotta give Tuchel credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they're playing this year is almost exactly like they did under Klopp in the last year. And I feel like if Leipzig were in second place, pushing Bayern and taking everyone's attention away, we'd all be saying, "Where the hell are Dortmund?" Because as we said in the prediction episodes, they were fifth, sixth over the winter break, and.
Yeah.
I don't really care who they signed or who they sold. It's up to Dortmund to make sure they still keep a certain standard, and they're not there right now. And I said, as listeners of the show hopefully remembers, I said they won't finish. I don't think right now the way they're playing they're going to finish in the top four. And that game on Sunday only cemented that thought.
Well, I have two questions for you now, because I want to give you the opportunity
yep.
to respond to them, because we asked them last week. One was... If Dortmund make the quarterfinals or the semifinals of the Champions League, but don't qualify for the Champions League next year, would that be a successful season for them?
No, they should be doing both.
Okay. The second question was, is with Tuchel, because I think I made the point that, I mean, Andre Schubert, who is also kind of a tactician that we praised at the beginning of the season, he went on a poor run of form and he lost his job. Is Tuchel going to be Dortmund's manager next year, if you had to say today?
It really is hard to tell when you don't know all the facts, but the way things are looking is he doesn't seem to be as happy with what's going on at the club. He fell out with the head scout, we know that, it's reported early in the year. He's saying contradicting things what the club are saying with transfers. He says he doesn't know players are coming.
Although he did say, and I think Kicker did a good job of this on Thursday, he did say that there are some transfers that he knows about and there are some that he doesn't. And he's really happy that, I think that with the specific case was Alexander Isak.
Yeah.
And he was okay. He's happy that he's there.
Yeah, there's a committee of sorts at Dortmund to do pick and transfers, and he's part of that. But it's really complicated how it works, so I won't go into it. But I'm trying really hard not to get into another rant about Dortmund. Mm. But yeah, I can totally understand if Tuchel ends up finishing fifth this season. He's like, you know what? It's too much. The club's all over the place right now. Because, as we've said in the show plenty of times, that interview with Rafi Honigstein was really telling.
Yeah.
We're all big fans of Rafi. He's been on the show. He's a really nice guy. He did a really good job in the interview. But Tuchel just could not hide his emotions throughout that. And it was obvious that he's absolutely devastated the way the club acted. I think Aubameyang's going to be right out of that door in the summer as well. Maybe other players, I don't know. I don't think there's anyone who's really good enough to demand that move as well. And the squad needs a lot of work. It's too dependent on young players who could be good, who might stick around. It's a really big task for Tuchel. It's not as if you can look at that Dortmund team and say, yeah, they know where they're going. I don't think they do know where they're going. And I really do think Aubameyang's leaving this summer, and it's going to be the exact same hell as we see this year. So Tuchel knows that's happening, then I wouldn't be surprised if he left, by any means. Because I think his reputation right now is still intact. But if he sticks around for another season,
that's his point.
At the end of his time at Mainz, I remember meeting him and after the game when they got drubbed by Bayern in Munich, and we talked about England, and he spoke in great English back then before his English was really needed, and he spoke very highly of the English game, and he has a lot of time for it. And obviously any fool knows that the best managers in the world at some point coach in the Premier League. And you're right to say, you know, his reputation at the moment is still very high, and he will, as an individual, as any individual would, he will certainly have that in mind when he thinks about his career and his next step.
I think there are parts of that Dortmund team that he deserves criticism for. That defence is his job.
Yeah.
I know he's missing Hummels, but there's still players that really should still be working, and tactically and just in general, he's not got that team playing well enough. But I think a lot of people will give him, if he left at the end of the season, people would say, club sold his best players, he did what he could in a really tough league this year.
And we shouldn't forget how well they played last season. You said it earlier, you know, that was an unbelievable season.
Give him a good team, they play well.
And he
record points.
Absolutely.
Total, you know?
And he suffers from the comparison there because, you know, after that first season, you can only fail unless you win the title. And he was never going to do that. So, under a lot of pressure.
I hate bashing Dortmund, I really do. I know people think I genuinely hate them, but I don't. I think they should be held to a certain standard.
Well, they've basically forced that standard on themselves in recent years.
Well, and they're not living up to that.
At the very least, they give us something to talk about every week, so we can't really complain about that.
We should change the FC Hollywood title maybe to Dortmund now. Maybe not. Maybe it's a bit too soon.
Yeah. Well, it's enough drama there for sure.
Yeah.
John, what do you want to share from the Tribune this week?
Well, I wrote a piece about it today, and I don't want to sound repetitive, so if you've read it, this is now...
Where can people find that piece, John?
Well...
Hashtag shameless plug.
I've posted it, and if you follow me, then you'll have seen it. But if you've already read it, then this is your
exclusive content for your followers there.
If you've already read it, then this is your opportunity to get a cup of tea. I wrote about Freiburg because Steph, you just said that, you know, the league has been distracted by Leipzig. Well, they continue to be distracted by Leipzig when it comes to teams overachieving, and nobody. Really is giving Freiburg enough credit. I talked about it, I tweeted about it at Christmas time. Christian Streich has done a phenomenal job again, and I think that's what deserves credit. You know, we're once again talking about a Freiburg side that have gone through a huge amount of upheaval, that lost their best players when they were relegated, that looked that in the face and said, we don't care. Won the league ahead of Leipzig, let's not forget that. They did actually...
Had the best attack.
Win the title. Had the best attack. They have the third least expensive squad in the Bundesliga. And Darmstadt and Ingolstadt are the two teams below them, right? And here we are, talking about side who are eighth in the league. They've won eight games this season. They won a scrappy game against Hertha Berlin, who are overachieving. They continue to be a force at home. Everything about them is remarkable. Christian Streich is a manager who talks about social issues at his press conferences. And as our good friend Archie Rintutt wrote in his feature recently, they are a team that talk about politics and social issues in their squad. They're not a team of superstars. There's no real massive names there. Yannick Harbour has turned out to be a great acquisition from Hoffenheim. They've made a smooth transition from Berkey's departure. Schwolo's looking great in goal. Mike France is a stable, experienced player in midfield, but they haven't got any big names. Vincenzo Grifo is one of my favourite players. He's great, really a wonderful addition to their attack in terms of assisting and providing. Maximilian Philipp, another one of those players, you're like, oh, yeah, hasn't really done anything, been in that team for ages, now playing well in the league. Nils Pettersson came off the bench and scored his 16th goal off the bench in his career. The guy's made a hobby of doing that.
He's scored a lot of goals off the bench.
And this is the kind of versatility that Freiburg have. You know, everything, when you think about the city, when you think about the quaintness of that stadium, when you think about Christian Streich and his phenomenal character, this is one of the teams that, for me, best sells the Bundesliga, if you had to sell it, really, to anybody looking at it. And nobody is giving them enough credit. And once again on the weekend, got out. And they were 1 minute away, one moment of absolute footballing brilliance away from getting a point against Bayern Munich to start the new year. So,
well,
kudos.
I did say at the prediction spot that there could be a top five attack. So, maybe not everybody, but I
No.
I'm just throwing that out there.
Things vague.
But for a team, I totally agree with you.
A team that has to go through as much transition as they have, you know, you're talking about Dortmund changing and losing big players. Freiburg do that almost every year, and yet you're looking at a team that just say, okay, it's part of our DNA. We lose players, we deal with it, we buy new players, and we bring new players through, and it works. And you know,
and most I think I read this a few years ago that the percentage.
If you say kicker one more time, I'm
going to
deny.
I'm not going to, but there's somebody I read somewhere that they spent the most percentage of their transfer fees on their academy.
Yeah.
I know.
There was a great feature in The Guardian a few years back about their academy.
Yeah.
And it really is, you know, they're obviously going to be moving to a new stadium in a few years, and there is going to be a change. And the challenge will be, can they retain that, you know, good feeling, that old school football feeling?
Yeah, if you're trying to check off, like, team, like
do it soon. Do it very soon.
Yeah, stadiums on your Bundesliga bucket list, that's one that a lot of people have talked about.
That'd be a great weekend as well. Freiburg's a lovely place.
And the lovely Rathaus.
Absolutely.
We also have a mutual friend that knows that us talking about Freiburg is making her very, very happy.
Absolutely.
I'll make my quick since we're over an hour now, but I just wanted to say, since you brought up Freiburg really quickly, this wasn't the right time for Norbert Meyer to take a job. Thorsten Frings. Norbert Meyer is already basically Norbert Meyer, I don't understand why Darmstadt got rid of him in the first place, because they just basically recruited him as a replacement for Dirk Schuster, who went to Augsburg. Dirk Schuster was also available, so he could have come back.
I think he would have been too proud to.
Maybe he was too proud to do that, but we've seen these former big name German players take over clubs. Stefan Effenberg being the most, like.
That was a terrible idea. Don't you think though? I, as much as I understand that, don't you think that Thorsten Frings, doing a reasonable job at Bremen as a coach, has an opportunity to be the man at another club? Right, he's done all his badges. He's getting experience. Even if they go down, this is the, potentially, obviously, who knows how it's going to go, but this is the step that he takes on the way to getting a much better job, mm-hmm. right? And unlike Effenberg, he has actually come from the Bundesliga setup where he's been coaching in Bremen. He's been there recently. Mm-hmm. He's obviously not taken any prisoners. That whole thing with Florian Jungberg is a great example.
Yeah.
Right? He's very refreshing in that sense, and he's going to. Darmstadt, nothing to lose.
Yeah, sure, but I think that if you're Thorsten Frings and you've been coaching in the Bundesliga a while, I don't think that Darmstadt is the team that
you
take
over.
Yeah,
but as an assistant coach or as a coach, in, you know, as a member of staff, you're not the man. Even if it's Darmstadt, this is an opportunity to be the number one head coach, and that doesn't come around, especially at the early stages of your career.
Yeah, but but you look at an example like.
Not everybody can have the fortune of Julian Nagelsmann.
Yeah, but you also look at. I mean, you wrote a piece also when Zinedine Zidane took over Real Madrid.
Absolutely. Totally and different club, though.
It's, of course it's a totally different
club. Darmstadt, Real Madrid.
Of course.
Sure?
This is a surreal moment on the podcast.
Yeah, so I've never thought I would say Darmstadt and Real Madrid in the same sentence. But you look, I mean, you said at the time when Zinedine Zidane took over Real Madrid that it was too soon.
Absolutely.
All right. But he had been at Real Madrid.
Yeah.
For also a very long time.
Yeah, but we're talking... yes, he had. But we're talking about Real Madrid. They are one of the biggest clubs in the world. Expectations when you set foot in that place as the head coach in day one, day minus one, are out of this world. Thorsten Frink stepping into Darmstadt job, everyone's like, you know what, mate? Have a good time. Make the most of it. They already, I imagine, are planning for relegation. They've already got that kind of situation dealt with. Thorsten Frink's probably had that conversation.
Yeah.
We want to give you the job, Thorsten, even if we get relegated, because we think you're the right guy to take us forward for
a couple
of years.
Yeah, but do you think that Darmstadt is the team that can pop right back after they go down?
No.
Yeah, I can see what they're saying. Like, nobody should be taking that Darmstadt.
No, nobody should. Sure. But if anybody's going to, surely a man like Thorsten Frink, who's looking for an opportunity to be a head coach, is the right man.
I mean, if I were him, of course, I'm not him.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Your hair looks different.
Yes, it's completely different. If I were him and I was trying to wait, I also come from an American culture where, I mean, we would talk about NFL football all the time, and I don't like making cross sport comparisons, but you see coordinators wait all the time for the right head coaching job.
True, but shorter bursts of seasons, more intense, 16 weeks, not a year.
Sure.
Totally different situation.
Yeah, it's totally different. But you see that, I mean, there are coaches that just wait for the right
opportunity.
Okay, what
would the right opportunity have been for Torsten?
I don't think it would have been Darmstadt.
Well,
I think,
no, I'm asking you.
There were eight coaches sacked in the Bundesliga this season.
Is he good enough to take any of those other jobs as his first job?
I think even a team like in the mid-table was fine. Bundesliga is better than a Darmstadt job right now.
Yeah. I think that. But the thing is, you say that you get that opportunity, you have to take it. But those opportunities...
I can see what both of you are saying.
But if that opportunity doesn't work out... That still is going to...
It's a marker's record.
It's a marker's record.
Is it because no one expects him to succeed? So he can only do, and he has experience as a head coach.
But it's next season. If he doesn't turn things around next season in this 5 points,
he then at least has experience as a head coach.
Yeah.
And he's not just some gamble from the Bremen staff.
He's also taking over a team from the beginning of the season. If he took over Darmstadt at the beginning of the season, I would have said... That's a great challenge for him. He knows that he's going down, and
it's not like he's not trying, though. You know,
of course
Darmstadt
not. Of course not.
No, but Darmstadt have nothing, right? And he's got Terence Boyd. He's got Sidney Sam. Okay, they might be completely ex-players in terms
Sidney
of
Sam.
Yeah, but he's trying. You know, for Darmstadt,
he's trying
to make something out of nothing.
Of course.
And yeah, okay, you could say he could take a Kaiserslautern job. He could take the Karlsruhe job. Karlsruhe just gave their job to Mirko Slomka.
Yeah,
that tells you about how second division teams are now thinking. Because a lot of these players, a lot of these coaches are getting sacked from first division teams, and then second division teams are like, hold on, you don't want this guy, we'll take him. That means coaches like Thorsten Frink are really struggling to get opportunities even at second division teams now.
Yeah. That's a fair point. I mean, the financial figures came out last week saying that, you know, the Zweite Bundesliga now isn't far off what they make in the championship in terms of revenue. So it's an emerging market, and these clubs now do have more money than they used to. So
someone should give Johnny Walsh a job.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, I think you're right that he's going to go down and he's expecting to go down.
Yeah.
But I don't think... I mean, you could have to say the same thing about Stefan Effenberg, who, of course, had not nearly as much coaching experience. But
I think
Effenberg
was given the job because of his name.
Yeah.
And Thorsten Frings wasn't given the job because of his name.
Okay. That's fair. Okay.
That was a nice short segment, guys.
Anyways, yeah, I was trying to keep that short.
That was brilliant. Let's go back to the beginning of that, where David says, just quickly.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom,
yeah.
Boom.
Just quickly. I wanted to squeeze this in because it's Darmstadt, but no, we had this long conversation.
Hey, it's cool.
But hey, it's cool. I mean, it's cool that we can have
a three, four, seven-minute
conversation about Darmstadt.
That, yeah.
Hey, Thorsten Frings is a legend.
Yeah, he was. I know, of course he was.
All right, so that'll do it for this podcast. Thanks you for bearing with us for so long. I mean, there's so much to talk about. We didn't even talk about, like, so many things in this match. There was so much to talk about. So
Like Cologne scoring six.
Yeah.
I didn't even get to talk about the game I went to.
Exactly. We didn't. I mean, we.
Do you want to have that?
No. Leverkusen can wait till next week.
Yeah. There's so many.
The same story.
So many things.
Not a win because they're inconsistent. So.
And if you have suggestions of things that you want us to talk about, be sure to reach out to us on social media as well. Be sure to rate us on iTunes, too. That's how we improve as a podcast. So, honestly, if you don't care for our podcast, we don't care for your recommendations. So,
this message is approved by the American
government. So, he wants to sack Vine Sale. He's not having friends. Now you're making fun of the listeners.
Now you want to ban the people that don't like us.
But please give us a rating, and hopefully it's a good rating on iTunes, because that's how we improve. You can reach out to Stefan Biankowski at SBiankowski on Twitter, Jonathan Harding at JohnBlog66, two G's and two sixes, and me at Davis_Vinopter for a guy that's not going to clog up your timeline because I never tweet. So, and of course, at Tribuna Podcast on Twitter. Thank you so much. We had a lot of fun, and we hope to see you next week.